JC Corcoran Podcast.
Alex Rashmil, our young doctor, working at Washington University Med Center in St. Louis, Missouri, has won $64,000. And going for $125,000. Now, what do you miss about New York out there?
Well, there's a couple things I miss. One is being able to get any kind of food, any hour of the day or night. Can't do that in Missouri. Another thing is the great public transportation, especially the Staten Island Ferry. Mm-hmm. I really miss that, and being around the water.
All baseball teams?
Oh, yeah, I miss being able to go to see my favorite team, the Mets.
Although, well, when they go to St. Louis, you can see them there.
Yeah, and then I have to put up with all the St. Louis fans saying, "The Mets are pond scum." They have that saying down there.
What do they call the Mets?
They call the Mets pond scum. It's a holdover from the rivalry that the Mets and Cardinals had in the 80s. And this year, the Mets and the Cardinals met up in the playoffs again.
It was a great
playoff. So people revived the
But why pond scum?
I'm still not sure.
You know, a guy called me that years ago. I never knew what he meant.
Yeah.
Pond scum. Something else to worry about. All right. $64,000. Going for $125,000. One lifeline left, Alex. Let's do it. Let's go all the way, okay?
Okay.
And let's play.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, "I've heard it all before"? It's like deja vu all over again.
I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight, and I can tell you that because I wasn't able to sleep last night thinking about this baseball game tomorrow night. How you doing, kids? It is Tuesday, October 5th, 2021, here at jcontheline.com. I'm not kidding. I'm really worked up about this whole thing, and we're going to see tomorrow night. And like I said yesterday, it's hard to believe that one of these two teams is going to have to go home. How about this situation last night with Monday Night Football? This is SoFi Stadium. This is Stan Kroenke's thing, and this is where the LA Rams play, obviously, but it's also they're sharing the facility with San Diego. Now, San Diego is a pretty good haul. I mean, it's like the distance between Chicago and Milwaukee, maybe like the distance between some parts of the St. Louis area and Springfield, Illinois. I mean, it's you know, you can't walk there, let's put it that way. If you live in San Diego, you're not going to walk to the ballpark. It's a pretty good haul. It's over an hour. And with traffic in Southern California, who knows what it does to the travel time. And you're going to think about after the game. So you get a Monday Night Football game, and the thing ends at like 11 o'clock St. Louis time. So that's 9 o'clock at night in Los Angeles. 9 o'clock at night. You got to drive an hour, hour and a half just to get home after a football game. But again, this is a domed stadium. But the start of the game got delayed for almost an hour last night because of lightning. And the first thing I was like, wait a minute, I thought, my memory seems to be telling me that there's a roof on that place. Well, the sides are open, and is the case with any large gathering, whether it's a football game or a concert or a festival or something like that. You have thousands of people just sort of milling around the place, and apparently there was a lot of light. And again, this is an area that I'm not sure I remember a lot of light. Yeah, I spent so much time in Los Angeles between, 85 and 99. I went to Los Angeles. It was about 175 times. During that same period, by the way, I went to New York 225 times, so well over 400 trips out of St. Louis, and those were the glory days where you could do stuff like that. Number one, you didn't have all this security, so you could drive to the airport, get out of your car, run to the gate, get on the plane, and leave. You could get there 15 minutes ahead of time, and you would not miss your flight. Plus, TWA was the hub for the airline, so you could fly anywhere. You didn't have to change planes. You had direct flights everywhere. It was, you know, I had accumulated, because I had flown so many times, I accumulated couple of 100,000 points, frequent flyer miles on TWA. And so, you know, like I said, those were the glory days. And you would have real silverware in first class. And I usually got bumped up to first class because, again, you're traveling so much. And you would sit there and you'd be eating like a filet mignon or a nice piece of salmon or something like that. And especially in first class, oh, my God, the flight attendants would just, I mean, they'd be all over you. Just, what do you need? You need anything? You need this? You need that? Just, you know, hot towels. Hot towels. You'd get out of the plane, and they would come with the tongs and give you a hot towel. It was unbelievable. The food was good, and you'd see a movie, and everything was fantastic. And then that stupid shoe bomber, that Richard Reed, on the heels of 9/11, this dope tries to blow up a plane with his shoe, and that's the end of that. But again, you know, having been in Los Angeles so much over the years, I don't remember a lot of lightning, or I don't even remember rain, let alone lightning. But I don't know. But like I said, the game got really delayed, so now it didn't end until I don't even know what time last night. I went to bed. I'm saving my energy up for tomorrow night. 7 o'clock St. Louis time, the Cardinals and the Los Angeles Dodgers, but you knew that. Yeah, but back to Los Angeles for a minute. When I was a kid, as you know, most of you know, my uncle was a ball player for the Chicago Cubs from 58 to 64, but before that, he was with, well, they knew him as the Brooklyn Dodgers, because that's where the team was up until 57. So he had 1 year with the Dodgers in Los Angeles before he got traded to the Cubs. And so when I would go to his house in the Chicago suburbs to see my aunt and my uncle and my two cousins, well, actually three, Leanne, Dean, and Don, where Don Elston was his name, Don Elston's kids. So I'd go to see the cousins like anybody does. You get in the car, you drive for an hour, and you go see your cousins. And you know, you would go into what they called the rumpus room. I'm not exactly sure what that meant, but it was a basement thing. And it was the first color TV I ever saw. And on the walls of this room, he had all of these 8x10 glossies of all these pictures of him with celebrities. You know, like Doris Day is the one that I specifically remember. And I think there was a group shot of him with Frank Sinatra. So they had all these pictures. I thought he, I was, you know, like a little kid. I'm like 7 years old. I thought he knew all these people. And it was pretty obvious as time went on, you get a little bit older and you figure it out. No, it's like anything else. The players see Frank Sinatra or Doris Day sitting in the box seats behind the dugout. And, you know, can you come down here and take a picture with me? So no, he didn't know Doris Day and Frank Sinatra. But as a little kid, I thought he did. That ballpark is the place where two Marines back in, I think it was 1969, 1970, did not like the looks of Peter Cetera of Chicago. And so the Marines were like sitting in row, you know, B, and Peter Cetera sitting in row C. And they just didn't like him. He had long blonde hair. And I guess words were said, words were exchanged. And these two Marines beat the living shit out of Peter Cetera of Chicago to the point where his jaw still doesn't work right. He was in the hospital for 6 weeks in Southern California with all sorts of broken bones in his face. And I don't know what happened to the two soldiers who beat him up, but so much for Los Angeles being a laid-back place. The first time I was ever in Dodger Stadium, this was probably sometime in the late 80s, I was out there for some reason, and just sitting a couple rows in front of me was Joey Silvera. Joey Silvera. And if you know anything about porn in the late 70s and 80s, you know who that is. He had a beautiful blonde with him. And I wonder how that works. If you're a young woman and you know that this guy who has asked you out is a porn star, are you thinking to yourself, is he going to do to me at some point what he does to these other women in these movies? Maybe she wanted that. I mean, who knows? And then if you're Joey Silvera, a porn star, how do you convince a woman that porn is your job? That's just what you do for a living. And yeah, I would like to have a girlfriend like everybody else. How do you sell that? And of course, we were lucky enough to be in the crowd at Dodger Stadium in October of 1985 when Jack Clark decides to take one deep. Pedro Guerrero just throws his glove down in left field. And off we go to the World Series in 1985 after beating the Los Angeles Dodgers. We were out there in 1990 for the Grammys, and for some reason, Jessica Hahn was out there. Remember Jim Baker's secretary, church secretary, who got herself embroiled in all of that controversy? And I had a conversation with her that was about an hour and a half out there one night. And I remember when that conversation broke up, I told my friends, I said, she's going to kill herself. She is the most mentally unstable person I think I've ever spoken to. And she's this huge wannabe. She was trying to use all this Hollywood language on me and everything. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. The little church secretary with the boob job. And there's another great story. You're Jessica Hahn and you're a church secretary. I think I'll get a boob job. Hey, what about all that lead us not into temptation stuff, honey? Boy, there was one person who never, ever should have been famous. Never should have been famous. Anyhow, but I have a lot of fond memories like that from all my time in Los Angeles. And so here we go. Tomorrow night. Now I've talked for 10 minutes about all that. What do I talk about tomorrow, which is when the game is? All right, never mind. I'll deal with that later. Yeah, but 85 was the first time I was ever there. And then we were there almost every year for the Grammys after that for a couple of years. And then they started shifting it back and forth between Los Angeles and New York and the, you know, the rest. And if you want, you can talk all about it today on Facebook, unless it goes down again. All three of them, right there. Right there is the problem. You know, we have these social media platforms, and all three of them went down because they're all owned by the same company. If that isn't reason enough to break up Facebook, I don't know what is. And Mark Zuckerberg's personal fortune dropped by $7 billion yesterday. And a lot of it could be the result of that 60 Minutes piece on Monday night. And from what I understand, this woman who was on talking about all the awful things that Facebook is doing, that there's going to be a few more people who are going to come forward and tell corroborating stories. So watch this space. Down in Florida, this was one of the best ideas I've seen in a long time. There's a place called Lee County in Florida, and it's named after Confederate General Robert E. Lee. Well, the world has become a little smarter about what the Confederacy was all about, what Robert E. Lee was all about. And so they are taking down statues and they are renaming things that have been named after members of the Confederacy. It's been like this for over 150 years now. So they knew down in Florida that people wanted to change the name from Robert E. Lee to something else. They knew that they were going to be facing a lot of blowback. So somebody said, we would like to change this to serve the memory of Bruce Lee. Therefore, it'll still be Lee County, but it ain't going to be that Lee. It's going to be the other Lee. Pretty smart. Ben Affleck said, being Batman in The Flash was a fun experience since the previous times were difficult, and those difficult times were echoed by George Clooney, who was not asked to return as Batman. And he jokes, he says he ruined the franchise and that he won't let his wife watch Batman and Robin. While some people are busy trying to develop medicinal solutions to problems that we have, like COVID and the flu and the common cold and stuff like that, other people involved in technology are striding ahead, trying to gain ground and fix things that are wrong with the world today, looking for problems and then trying to develop solutions. That's why some guy just invented something called the fart pedal. So you can make the sounds of flatulence with your guitar. Now, you can't play an actual tune with this guitar because all it does is make fart noises. I can't believe they think this is new. As far as I'm concerned, Justin Bieber has been achieving the equivalent of this for quite some time now. Oh, got another Dave Chappelle special. It's called The Closer. It's on Netflix, and it debuts today. Seventh season finale of Bachelor in Paradise tonight on ABC. Late night, Queen Latifah on with Jimmy Fallon. I know a guy back in St. Louis who used to be the executive chef at a Ritz-Carlton in Jamaica, and Queen Latifah used to come there with her girlfriend all the time and stay in that hotel right on the water. Beautiful place. Well, of course, all of those places down there in Jamaica, they're all on the water. Rami Malek, the guy who played Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody, is on with Jimmy Kimmel. He's in that James Bond movie. Michael Keaton on with Colbert. James Corden has Taraji P. Henson and Gabrielle Union. And Jason Momoa pops up tonight with Seth Meyers. How would you like to be a big movie star, or at least a television star? We're talking about Shannon Doherty, who used to be on 90210. So I guess I should say former celebrity. And she has her house damaged by one of those wildfires in Southern California back in 2018. And she has State Farm Insurance and calls them up and goes, most of my house burned down. Can you write me a check to replace the house? And State Farm says, nah, I don't think so. So she had to sue her own insurance company. And yesterday she won $6.3 million. Oh, by the way, back to that football game for a minute. On Sunday night with Tom Brady, that Patriots-Bucks game, second most watched Sunday night football game of all time. And Urban Meyer, the Jacksonville Jaguars coach, is apologizing for some videos of him having a little too much fun at an Ohio bar last week with an unidentified blonde. The videos are up there, and, I wouldn't have wanted to be Mrs. Urban Meyer after having viewed those. Let's put it that way. One of my big thrills in this business, I had a guy here in St. Louis who used to be a representative from Warner Brothers Pictures, Bob Lieberman. Where are you today, Bob? So Bob decides he didn't want to do that anymore after several years. He always wanted to live in Las Vegas, and so he moved to Las Vegas, became a financial advisor, and great guy, loved Bob, and picked up the personal account of one Mr. Tony Curtis. So this was sometime back in the 90s, and we fly out to go do our show from one of the casinos. We were doing some sort of promotion or something out in Vegas. And my friend Bob, who has moved to Vegas, says, come on to lunch. I've got somebody that you'll want to meet. Oh, really? Who's that? You walk in, and there's fucking Tony Curtis. And so we had lunch with one of the most famous movie stars in the history of Hollywood. I mention that because back in the late 60s when I worked the candy counter and the popcorn sales and everything like that at a movie theater on the southwest side of Chicago, one of the movies that always played when we were there was The Boston Strangler, played by Tony Curtis. And we used to time it, because you would know what time the movie started, and then you would pick out your favorite scenes, and if there was any nudity in any movies, we would always time it to take a break so we could run into the theater and watch the nudity in the movie. So we knew that, exactly 1 hour and 12 minutes into The Boston Strangler, there's a scene where he rips open the leotard of a woman who he's about to kill. Hey, you're 16 years old. You'll take anything, right? And we did. Well, now they're going to make another movie about the Boston Strangler. This was the stuff back in the 1960s. And Keira Knightley is going to be one of the stars of that movie. Birthdays today, Jesse Eisenberg, The Social Network. How appropriate after the Facebook debacle yesterday. He's 38. Kate Winslet, 46. Mario Lemieux, hockey legend, 56. Karen Allen from Raiders of the Lost Ark. And Animal House is 70 today. Brian Johnson, AC/DC lead screamer, 74. Steve Miller. That was on my bucket list for a long time. I always wanted to interview Steve Miller. And then he did a show down in Jefferson County, I want to say, maybe 3-4 years ago. And I figured, here's my shot to interview Steve Miller. And he turned down the opportunity. So it looks like that one is going to go unfulfilled. Led Zeppelin III was released on this date, 1970. That was 51 years ago, and Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Man, oh man, double album, remember? I can recall being in college when this thing came out in 73, and we couldn't believe it. Candle in the Wind, Benny and the Jets, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, title track, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Man, oh man, what an album. 48 years ago today, Dolly Parton appeared on the cover of Playboy on this date 43 years ago. That was 78. Barry Bonds certainly knows how to cheat and succeeded in breaking Mark McGwire's home run record with number 71 on this date 20 years ago. On this date back in 1988, that vice presidential debate with Lloyd Benson and Dan Quayle happened. That was the one where he says, I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy. That was very, very rehearsed. People thought that at the time it was off the top of his head, but apparently Quayle had been going around for quite some time comparing himself to Jack Kennedy, and the Democratic operatives were aware of that, and so they said, all right, we have this hunch that Quayle is going to try to pull this in the debate. So when he says that, you say this. And that was pretty much the end of it, at least we thought. And we lost two icons, cultural, technological, show business, whatever you want to call it. Steve Jobs passed away on this date 10 years ago and 17 years ago in 2004. Rodney Dangerfield died of a chronic case of no respect. He was 82. And it gives us a chance to dip into the archives.
Let's talk a little bit about Rodney. I worked with Rodney Dangerfield four or five times in my life. And two of those times, I got to spend really an enormous amount of time with him. One was at a theater in Omaha, Nebraska, back in 1980. Matter of fact, there's a picture of me and Rodney on my website at jcontheline.com. My hair, by the way, I look like Annette Funicello.
I got to see that.
My hair is like it looks like some sort of aerodynamic thing. It's like NASA put this hairstyle together.
That's when you were blow drying it?
No, it would just fluff out by itself. I wasn't teasing anything. And Rodney was, I met Rodney Dangerfield backstage because I was doing the onstage announcement. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to meet Rodney Dangerfield. It's so cool, you know, and all this. And he comes out and he's wearing a white robe and his dress shoes and his black socks pulled up all the way to his knees.
Sure.
Nice.
And he's walking around like that's perfectly normal.
How you doing there, kid? Hey, what kind of house was it? Young crowd, old crowd? What kind of crowd you got out there?
And we were talking, and every couple of seconds, he would peek out from the curtain and look to see what the crowd looked like.
Old crowd or young crowd? What does the crowd look like out there, kid? I don't know. What kind of crowd are going to be here tonight?
And it was very, very nice. He couldn't have been sweeter. So right before that, the reason that he and I sort of had a connection is because right as his career was really seriously not taking off like on Ed Sullivan, but there was a point back around 1979, 1980, where all of a sudden Rodney became like the coolest person for young people.
Right.
All of a sudden, young people were like, oh, this Rodney Dangerfield is great. Mm-hmm. So you got this guy in his 50s, you know, looking like Rodney Dangerfield, looking like somebody's bad uncle mm-hmm. in this bad suit and the whole thing, this bad tie and a bad shirt with these bad jokes. And he became like a hero of young people. So I was working at a radio station in Milwaukee, and we actually, for free, John the U-Man Hewlett, for free, got Rodney Dangerfield to record an audio track that we made into a television commercial for my morning show in Milwaukee.
So, hey, Rodney Dangerfield here. JC, I tell you, this kid, you know.
And he did this commercial. He didn't even charge us. It was free.
Uh-huh.
So then, like I said, I met him in Omaha for the first time. I got a chance to meet him. And couldn't have been sweeter, but he was very, very obsessed with the idea of what's out there in the crowd, you know.
Yeah,
What kind of jokes am I going to tell you, you know? What kind of a crowd this is, kid, I tell you.
Now, Dennis Blair is a comedian who has opened for George Carlin for about the last 16, 17 years. And Dennis is a good pal of mine, and every time we are out in California, we have him on the show. We may have him on the show Saturday or Sunday, by the way. Uh-huh. He brings his guitar over and he does these song parodies. They're hysterical. He was the guy who wrote the screenplay for Easy Money, the Rodney Dangerfield movie. And so he's got all these Rodney Dangerfield jokes. Robert Wall from the TV show Arliss, you know, and Robert Wall in Hollywood Nights, the movie and all that kind of stuff. He was also a joke writer for Rodney Dangerfield. John Hughes, the director of 16 Candles and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Home Alone and all that kind of... Well, Chris Columbus directed Home Alone. John Hughes was the producer.
Okay.
On that. But he also, at one point, was a joke writer for Rodney Dangerfield. And everybody's got the same stories. What they would do is Robert Wall said that he would call up Rodney Dangerfield with jokes. He was writing jokes for him. They would exchange stuff on their answering machine. And what Rodney would do, he's like, all right, kid, how about this one? Try this one out. All right, I'll tell you. You know, I worked at a rough club.
I tell you what, on the menu was broken like a lamb.
And he, what do you think, kid? He would like pause for like the laugh or for the applause. And it was very funny. Jeff Altman, who is another comedian who's a friend of David Letterman, been on the show many times, and we've gotten to know Jeff very well over the years. And here's something that I say from Jeff Altman, because this is very funny, because he also used to hang out with Rodney.
You're right. You do a little Rodney Danger, because it's always that joke about, woman like a car. You remember the joke?
I'll tell you, I'm come into the radio station this morning. I look down, I see a big dog sitting there licking himself like dogs do, you know? I turn to my friend and said, boy, I wish I could do that. He said, well, go over and pet him, maybe he'll let you.
Yeah, hey! I'll tell you.
Try the veal. Oh, man.
That's cute.
So Rodney went in for heart valve replacement surgery on August 25th. They asked him how long he was going to be in the hospital. They're like, well, if things go right, I'll be there about a week. If things don't go right, I'll be there about an hour and a half. Very funny.
Making jokes as he's going in for heart surgery.
So Rodney, who's 82, picks up this young wife. And he shows up. And when I say young, I'm not even talking about Billy Joel young. I'm talking about young.
Like illegal young?
Damn close.
Low 20s?
And she shows up. I don't know. Yeah. And she shows up with him. We did an interview with him at in Los Angeles at the Grammys a couple of years back. And I'm like, well, this is like his publicist or something. All of a sudden, hey, baby, how you doing there? I'm like, talking to his publicist. And then it becomes clearly apparent that this is somebody with whom he's romantically involved. And I look at Close, and Close looks at me, and we're like, you got to be kidding. This is not happening. Rodney Dangerfield's got like a 15-year-old wife. What the hell is going on? And
wow.
She belongs to one of those religious cults that believes something weird, I forget, is some one of those weird things. Oh,
Rodney Dangerfield is God.
I can't. He's together with her for like the last 10 years of his life.
And had a child with her, didn't he?
Yeah. No, you're looking at Tony Randall.
Oh.
No, Rodney Dangerfield
never had
no kids. No, he's got grown kids who are like older than us.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. But he didn't have I could have swore he was a father late in life. No.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I live in a rough neighborhood. I asked the cop, how many minutes to the subway? He said, I don't know. No one has ever made it.
Oh, God.
It was all.
My doctor, Finny Boombots. Yeah.
And you
loved
just
him in Caddyshack.
In Caddyshack, yeah. Fantastic.
Legendary stuff.
Oh, God, but we got to have Dennis on.
So what was his career like prior to when he had the resurgence?
Well, you know, he was born Jacob Cohen in Babylon, New York, 1921. After an early attempt at launching a comedy career failed, he left show business and earned a living as a house painter and aluminum siding salesman. He got back into the business when he was in his 40s, and his career really took off in the 1980s, which is what we started talking about, but it was primarily with young people, and young people just adored this guy, you know?
Delivery, man.
I stand on the street corner, guy sticks his hand in my pocket. I said, hey, what are you doing? He says, I need money. I said, what did he ask? He said, I don't know, I talk to strangers.
Kind of stuff.
My wife said she wanted to have sex in the back seat of the car. She wanted me to drive.
I'll think of these morning goes on. Yesterday, the joke of the day on his official website, which is Rodney.com. Think young, Rod. No, different one. Yeah. Rodney.com. Here was his joke on the website yesterday.
I'll tell you, get no respect from anyone. I bought a cemetery plot. The guy said, there goes the neighborhood.
Oh, cute.
Wow. And there are a lot of people who do great Rodney Dangerfield imitations.
Yeah,
you do a very good one.
Thank you.
I wonder if they're calling now.
I'll tell you, rough crowd, hey.
Hey, Kay, it's you on the air. Hi.
Hey, my wife and I, we go to the Tunnel of Love. She says, sit tight. She'll be right out.
Wait a minute. That went by too fast.
Tunnel of Love.
Tunnel of, got it. Kay, it's I.
Yeah, my doctor says that me and my wife should have sex more often. Now we'll never see each other.
That's a good one, too.
I'll tell you, I've been in love with the same wife for 50 years, and my wife finds that she'd kill me. Yeah.
I love the name of his book. It's called Rodney Dangerfield. It's Not Easy Being Me. A lifetime of no respect, but plenty of sex and drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
Okay, it's I.
Yeah, I come home. A guy was running out of my house. I said, who said you could have sex with my wife? He said, everybody.
Kay, it's I.
Yeah, I tell you, my wife, she's such a bad cook. She's the only one I know that can make toast with bones.
Ew.
Kay, it's I.
My wife's such a bad cook, all the flies in the neighborhood chipped in to get the screen door fixed.
Oh, my God.
Kay, it's I.
Yeah, there was a fire in the house. My wife said to the kids, shh, be quiet, you wake up Daddy.
Oh, my God.
I tell you, my wife's so fat. I tell you, two men can make love to her at the same time and never meet.
Go ahead.
Checking in a hotel. 2 o'clock in the morning, a woman knocking on my door, knocking. Finally, I got up and let her out.
K, it's I.
My wife tells me I
got
to get a haircut. It don't look like a haircut. So now I got to find me a barber who don't look like a barber.
K, it's I.
Oh, yeah. I was training the dog, so I took it to the bedroom to teach it how to beg.
Oh, my God.
K, it's I. Hello.
Hey, last night I made love to an inflatable woman. Now I got an inflatable man looking for me.
Oh, my God.
K, it's I.
Yeah, my wife said she wanted to go eat at some place she's never been before. I said, try
the kitchen.
K, it's I.
Hey, am I old? Are you kidding? I was walking by a cemetery and two guys chased me with a shovel.
Oh, my God.
K, it's I.
Oh, yeah, my wife. She's so fat. I mean, when I met her at the Macy's Parade, she had ropes tied to her.
Well, they've got on Rodney.com, they've got a joke archive from last month. They've got a joke of the day.
So just pick a joke, start the joke, but leave the punchline off. Let me see if I can finish it.
All right, hold up. I saw my psychiatrist. I told him, Doc, I keep thinking I'm a dog.
And he said,
roll over?
He told me, get off his couch. Get off his couch.
Get off my couch.
When I was a kid, everyone thought I got plenty of girls. I used to go to a drive-in movie and do push-ups in the backseat of my car.
Hey, let's see what we got more. Okay, it's high.
There's more. Oh, my wife, she's so fat. She rolled over in bed and ended up in Wyoming.
Okay, it's high.
I was asked if I talked to my wife after sex, and I said, there's a phone handy.
My wife's so fat after sex, she smokes a turkey.
Okay, it's high.
Yeah, I tell you, it ain't easy being me. When I was born, I was so ugly. The doctor
slapped my mother. Yeah.
That's cute.
Okay, it's high.
Hey, my wife is so fat, when she went to school, she sat next to everybody.
That's cute.
I tell you, my girlfriend, she's got so much hair on her arms, it looks like she's got buckwheat in a headlock.
I like that one.
How about that for a legacy, man? Leave that kind of legacy.
John's crying.
People laugh so hard.
I know.
John's crying. He's crying.
Rodney Dangerfield.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a perfect example of why I never, ever throw anything out. That's listed in my archives as the Rodney Dangerfield Fest, by the way. And we lost him on this date in 2004, 17 years ago today. And that's it, the J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Tuesday, October 5th, 2021 is in the can. We're back tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock bright and early, absolutely free. Please continue to spread the word. Let your friends, family members, whatever the case may be, know that we are here at JC on the Line every weekday morning at 7 o'clock, absolutely free. We archive all of the shows. They're available right here on the site. You can email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Our Facebook page is The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. We'll talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.